Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And that is about as happy and joyous as I'm going to sound here in this first segment. Where do I even begin? Oh, I know. The offense let us down. I don't want to hear a dang thing about the pitching. Happy Friday, all that, but I got to go off real quick. I don't want to hear a dang thing about the pitching. The pitching lost you one game. If you haven't heard by now, Braves lose 3-1. Their season is over. Phillies win the series in four games. You had chances last night, too. You had a chance at the very end. Obviously, you have the bases loaded. Two outs. Ronald Acuna Jr. up at the plate. He misses a grand slam by a few feet. It's tough. But guess what? You need your MVP to come through right there. He didn't come through. You get first and third, nobody out. Nobody comes through after that. The offense let us down. Because guess what? Spencer Strider, he did what he was supposed to do. He kept you in the game. Spencer Strider in game one, did what he was supposed to do. He kept you in the game. Game two, obviously, you won. Game three is the only game you can blame the pitching. Pitching, we didn't have it. That was never our game to win, it seems like. But last night, it was right there. We were down two runs. We had ample opportunities to tie or take the lead in this game. Kevin Pillar, on that wild pitch, I understand why he was a little hesitant, but you got to go. You got to go on that. I understand why he didn't, so I'm not going to criticize him too much, but you got to go. Now, outcome could have been different if we end up getting that, at least getting that second run off the wild pitch, but the point is, what was a historic offense in the regular season did not come up, did not travel, did not come through at all for the postseason. You scored a total of, you scored no runs in game one. You scored the five runs in game two. You scored two runs in game three. And you scored a run in game four. You scored 8 runs in 4 games. It's 2 runs per game. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. So again, I don't want to hear Jack Diddley squat about the pitching. Were we at a slight disadvantage? Sure. Did it stink that Charlie Morton was hurt and he wasn't available for game 3? Of course. But you had plenty of chances to win last night. You had chances to win game one. And the offense that was supposed to be historic, the offense that was supposed to be unbeatable, deep 1-9, no holes in it, was holy all the way around. So I'm going to take y'all's calls starting next segment. Obviously, your opinion is your opinion. But I really ain't got time for the, oh, we need more pitching. It's the pitching. I really ain't got time for that. And I feel like y'all won't have that take. At least I would hope not. Because it's quite obvious and clear that the lack of offense lost us this series. Couldn't do a dang thing. The only people that really showed up for the NLDS, only people showed up with their bats ready to hit in the NLDS, Austin Riley for sure. Travis d'Arnaud obviously had the big at-bat too, the two-run homer in game two. It's really about it. It's really about it. Ozzie got on base a couple of times. Ronnie got on base a couple of times, scored a couple of runs. But still, as far as who hit, it was Travis d'Arnaud and Austin Riley for real. And that was really it. Out of all the guys we have, I understand Matt Olson got, what, a couple of hits. But just disappointed. And yes, I do think this is the most disappointing Braves season in franchise history. You have an historic offense. You have what should be the MVP in Ronald Acuña Jr. You have the guy who led the MLB in home runs and RBIs. And you can't do a dang thing on offense. Not a dang thing besides game two. It's tough, man. It's tough. And look, that's how, unfortunately, baseball goes sometimes. You can have the best offense in the league all year long, and then just one series, nothing. Nada. Zip. Zilch. So, it is very disappointing. Obviously, like you, I'm hurt. Don't feel good. I would much rather be celebrating on a Friday and partying due to the fact that the Braves won and forced a game five and they're coming back to the A to try and complete the comeback and head to the NLCS. But instead, we are talking about a team that now has lost back-to-back years in the NLDS in four games to the Philadelphia Phillies. And can I tell you, it's official, I hate the Phillies. I don't care. I'll say it. I hate the Phillies. And I got to give them the respect. They played well, pitched well, obviously, did something to shut our offense down. So, I'll give them their respect. They hit when they needed to. They came up with the big hits. I mean, Nick freaking Castellanos. Dude destroyed us all series long. First Philly player in history to have a multi-home run games and back-to-back games. Hit two home runs in game three. They hit two home runs in game four. I mean, goodness gracious. Then Trey Turner ate our lunch. Bryce Harper. Couldn't even really put the man. We had to just put the man on base because he'd been beating us so bad. I mean, we just couldn't get those three guys out. It seemed like they were always on base. So, it's hurt, man. This one definitely hurts because it just all season long it felt like this team was special. All season long it felt like this team was destined to at least make it to the World Series. And then postseason runs around and you just fall flat on your face. The best offense comes up short and short by a long, long way. And again, I'm not blaming Spencer Strider at all. He kept you in the game. And I know y'all can be like, well, he gave up those home runs. Well, how many people gave up home runs in this series for the Braves? And again, they were all solo shots. And it was three. Now, it seems like a lot, but with them all being solo shots, still kept you right in the game. And again, After he gave up the second one, it didn't really matter because we only ended up scoring a run. And excuse me for believing that a team who had the best offense in baseball could score four runs in a game. I don't think that's outlandish or asking for too much to ask a team that's supposed to be the best offense in baseball to score four runs. So I'm just disappointed, upset, shocked. Man, this is definitely one of the toughest things as an Atlanta sports fan that I've had to endure for sure. We won't go through the other traumas because we ain't doing that. We ain't gonna go that deep down the rabbit hole, and we ain't gonna open up that kind of hurt. But again, Braves had plenty of chances in this game to score, and they just couldn't do it. Think of, again, top of the seventh inning. Bases loaded, two outs, and you don't do anything. Ronald Acuña Jr., again, flies out to center field. Then in the top of the ninth, Eddie Rosario. Well, Kevin Pillar before that. Marcelo Zuna walks to start off the inning. Sean Murphy gets a single. Marcel gets the third. So now you got first and third, nobody out. Then Kevin Pillar pops out. Eddie Rosario flies out. And Vaughn Grissom strikes out. And I kept saying to myself, the Braves are going to come back. The Braves are going to come back. The Braves are going to come back. And thought that was the moment in the seventh inning because, man, I was willing to bet some change that Ronnie was going to hit that ball out. And we were all going to be standing up here talking about, that's why he's the MVP. That's why he's the MVP right there. Shows up for you when you needed him the most. Nope. And then in the top of the ninth, when we got first and third, nobody out, I'm thinking, okay, this offense is going to wake up and put together an inning when they need to the most. Nope. It's tough. It's definitely tough. So, again, you want to call up, air out your grievances. 404-726-0929 is the number. You can do just that. But again, I really hope, and I don't think y'all will, because I know you are a sensible fan. You all are sensible fans. I don't think any of you will call up and talk about the pitching this morning because, again, you scored no runs in game one. You win game two, you do what you have to do there. Score five runs. The pitching let you down in game three. I am willing to admit that. But still, you only score two runs. And then in game four, you score a single run. I don't want to hear about the pitching. I really don't. I just don't. But 404-726-0929, that is the number. What are your thoughts? How are you feeling? Tell me your emotions. I want to hear it all. We'll talk about it in five. We can have a therapy session together, Atlanta. Call me up, 404-726-0929 if you need to vent, if you need to. Well, I really don't want to hear you come on here and cry. That'll be a little awkward. So try not to do that. You can, you know, if there's some sniffles, that's all right. But in all seriousness, call me up. I'll take your Braves reactions. 404-726-0929. That is the number. We'll talk about it next right here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with you on a Friday. And trust me, I wish it was a happier Friday here on the Hometown Take here in Atlanta. But I will say this, shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. Salute to y'all. Y'all the real heroes. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Taking out their anger, their frustration, their sadness out on the weights this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. That drive might have felt a little bit lonelier. Waking up this morning might have been a little bit harder. I know it was for me for sure. But salute to you. I'm right here with you. I know the vibes. And all my people in the bed right now, go ahead and get up. It's not going to get any easier from here. But shout out to everybody listening right now. Appreciate you. 404-726-0929 if you want to get in the game and react to what you saw last night in the Braves season, unfortunately, being over. 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929. Still got a couple of lines open, but we do have some calls we need to get to. So let's first and foremost head out to my guy. And I'm glad this guy's first because this is my dude right here. Shout out to my guy Skip calling from Atlanta. Skip, what's going on, man? How you feeling this morning, brother? What's going on, Skip?
Check this out, man. You know, I got three things to the Braves.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, I got three things to the Braves, man. Like I say, number one, the bottom of the order didn't hit. Usually, we count on the bottom of the order throughout the season to roll over to the top.
Facts.
The bottom didn't hit. Not at all. The bottom didn't hit.
Right.
Number two, I think that Snick, this game, overmanaged himself. I think he panicked the last from the seventh inning on. I understand the concept, the bottom wasn't hitting. But the guys you replaced, you know they were going to have a chance to come up in the ninth. And if you'd have kept, if you're going to switch everybody out in that, at one end, and you should have switched Rosario out for Pollard on base, I know Rosario would have took that chance and scored.
Yeah.
And when we took, I understand the concept that Michael Harris wasn't hitting, but when we took him out, man, that kind of put a strain, because I think Harris come up in that situation in the ninth inning instead of Vaughn. When Vaughn came up, it was over for me. He wasn't going to really do nothing. He came out cold.
Yeah.
Never been in this situation in a long time.
Yeah.
They already said he struck out three times in the series all before already. So it was like, okay, Vaughn can't handle the big pressure.
Right.
He looked lifeless up there. And number three, I got to say it, man. I told you, remember, I don't know, you remember this, but done right with trade deadline, I said the Braves need some fireballers.
Yeah.
In that bullpen and the starting rotation. Remember that?
I remember that.
They need some fireballers, man, because I understand the concept. We got some good pitchers, but every time the Braves get into a big series, whether it's the playoffs or a big series in the season, these bullpens come out and throw fire, man. We got the Braves pitching. We got people that can pitch. I'm tired of the outside pitchers, this and that. We need some guy who can throw that thigh out in there, man. But other than that, man, great season for the Braves, man. You know, I'm still behind. I'm still a 100% Braves. It's time to turn the page up to the Falcons and the Hawks. Hawks had a good game last night. Falcons, let's keep it going. Braves, y'all got to get some fireballers in there doing for next year. Hitters, y'all taking some time off, man, and do y'all thing.
Hey, I appreciate the phone call, Skip. And I think Skip hit it on the head. You know? I do understand, too, why you pulled Michael Harris out. He wasn't very good, so I'm not mad at Snicker for pulling out Michael Harris. I get it. I understand why he did it. I'm kind of indifferent on that, honestly. I kind of defer to snit on that. Would I have kept Michael Harris in the game if I was in that situation? Probably, because to Skip's point, at least Michael Harris was warm. He had been in the heat of the moment. Vaughn Grissom, Vaughn could have came up big for sure, and if he did, we'd be talking about him. He'd be front page news. Vaughn Grissom, been on the bench, been in AAA basically all season long, and then he comes up biggest for the Braves. You know, it'd be a great story, but it just didn't seem realistic with the way he had been just not playing. I mean, he'd been playing at AAA, but playing at AAA during the regular season and coming up in the postseason, your first at-bat is to keep the Braves entire season alive. Like, that's asking a lot out of a dude who didn't get a single at-bat throughout the series. So I'm with Skip. I did not have a lot of expectations when Vaughn came up. He does make a good point of putting Eddie Rosario in right there, and Eddie probably goes for that. And again, I'm not too mad at Kevin Pillar for not going for it because I get it. You don't want to be the final out at home and not give Ronnie that chance. So I understand why he didn't go. I wish he would have, but I understand why he didn't. So again, I'm not trying to criticize Kevin Pillar for not going there. I just wish personally that he would have. In my opinion, I think he would have made it. So I wish he would have taken that chance. But again, I'm not mad at him, and I don't think he should be criticized for not going. But, yeah, at the end of the day, like Skip said, the bottom of the order did nothing for you. Really, the top of the order didn't do much besides Austin Riley either. Again, Austin Riley, Travis d'Arnaud, they had the biggest hits. That was about it. Ozzy did drive in Ronnie for the first run in Game 3. But other than that, Travis d'Arnaud and Austin Riley scored all the runs. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929 is the number if you want to get in the game. Let's go to my guy LeBron. He's out in ATL. LeBron is my guy, too. LeBron, how you feeling this morning, brother? Good morning.
Hey, man, I'm good, alive, and well, man. It's going to be all right. You know what I'm saying?
I know. It's going to be all right. You're right, LeBron.
You've been a lifetime Braves fan, my dude. Hey, when we used to be the way we are, we're okay, man.
You're right.
The only thing about it is, you know, like we spoke earlier in the season, where's Ron? Hello? Anybody see Ron? Hello? Is Ron there?
Is he out there? Wait. Somebody go find him. Somebody go get him.
Hey, man, is he on the milk tray, man? Where, yeah, man.
Not the milk tray.
I'm saying, man, hey, they all-star showed up.
Yep.
Showed out.
Sure did.
All-star. Wah, wah, wah.
Uh-huh. Big time.
But they be hopping around, jumping around, having fun. Like, they really balling. Like, bro, what are y'all doing? Don't get me wrong. You're supposed to have fun when you play a game. I get that.
Right.
But you won one game, and you bouncing around. You doing this and doing that. Like, hey, y'all doing the most not to be doing nothing, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I get
you. At the end of the day, man, let me tell y'all, man, everybody keep your head on because, man, I remember when the Braves went hitting on that. We were the Dallas Cowboys. We were pretty much still the Dallas Cowboys of baseball, bro.
Yeah.
One and done. There it is, you know. But other than that, man, hey, man, everybody get on, keep your head on, man. Life's good. We woke up this morning.
That's
we
a fact.
We listened to the number one talk show with the number one dude, man.
I appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? So, hey, like my man said, let's go Falcons.
That's right.
Hawks, you know? So,
that's
hey,
a fact.
Man, everybody get up, man. We had a good season. We Gucci, you know what I mean? I mean, everybody want a World Series. Don't get me wrong. It was nice to be the champ, but, hey, we got to fight a little harder, man, you know, to get back where we're at. And maybe that'll make them more hungry and stop playing around and get to that business, man, because Philly was looking like men and we were looking like boys, bro.
That's true. Hey, LeBron, man, I appreciate the phone call. You know you're my dude, man. I appreciate you, big dog. And I got to say this. I'm very happy with Skip and LeBron, man. That's why they my guys. And everybody's my people. Don't get me wrong. But that's why they my guys, man. Like, they came here with some positivity to start off. That's exactly what I needed because at the end of the day, the Braves window is not closed. They're both absolutely right. The Braves window is not closing anytime soon. Now, do you wish to capitalize on a historic season like we had? Of course you do. But the Braves window is not closed, and it's not closing anytime soon. And we do got the Falcons. Look, maybe the Braves are sacrificing their historic season for a nice Falcons playoff run. Maybe that's what's happening here. Maybe that's what's going on in the universe. Daddy, you shook your head. Daddy just shook his head. No, dang, Daddy. Why? Why, Daddy? No, why?
That's not what's happening.
Daddy said that's not what's happening. Man, well, a guy can dream, Daddy. I'm trying to keep it positive, right, Daddy? But nah. But again, the thing is that, you know, the Braves still had, again, a great season. Ronald Acuña Jr. still should be the MVP. And like Skip said, and like LeBron said, still proud of the guys. And, you know, I'm still going to roll with the Braves 10 toes down, A1 since day one. You know what I'm saying? That ain't going to never change. But, again, this one definitely does hurt. So, that it is what it is at this point. And look, to LeBron's point as well, too, hopefully, you know, they did their thing in the regular season, but when they get in the postseason, hopefully this will fuel them. When they get to the postseason, give them a little extra fuel to their fire and maybe help propel them past, hopefully, Phillies. Now we need to beat the Phillies. Now, next year, and I know we're talking about right now, what happened right now, what happened last night, but looking ahead real quick, hopefully we get in the postseason next year. I want the Phillies. And matter of fact, if we can set it up to where we get the Phillies, if NLDS, NLCS, I don't care. And one of them too, because we got to beat them now. Because now at this point, I'm looking for revenge. So, we'll see what happens. All right, 404-726-0929 is the number. Let's head out to Blake in Blake is calling. No, David. Let's get out to David. Blake had dropped. Let's go to David, who's calling up and wants to give his reaction. David, good morning to you, man. How you feeling?
Good morning. So I'm gonna go ahead and put it out there.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna put this collapse of the Braves right up there with 28-3. I know nobody wants to hear it, but as far as our offense and the total complete collapse, that's how disappointed I am. I would trade MVP. I would trade all the records, the home run records. I would trade all of that for a victory last night over the Phillies.
Yep.
I can't stand them.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm a diehard Atlanta Braves fan, so, you know, let's get ready to go next year. Appreciate it, buddy. You got a great show.
Appreciate you, David. Thank you, my man. Appreciate the phone call there. And I feel you, David. Look, now if you want to say you are as disappointed as you were when 28-3 happened, that is totally fair because that is your emotion and nobody can tell you how to feel. Now, that collapse was not as big as 28-3 for a lot of reasons. First and foremost, we didn't have a 28-3 lead or we didn't have a big lead in that game. At all. We had a 1-0 lead for half the inning. So it's not like the Braves collapsed. I won't say that. If, you know, I'm not gonna compare their collapse and their lack of offense in the postseason to what happened in 28-3. You know, I don't think they're comparable. But again, if you want to say you are as disappointed as you were when 28-3 happened, I have no argument with you there because, again, number one, that is your feeling and nobody can tell you how to feel. And number two, I mean, he's got a point. It's close, kind of, sort of, somewhat. But I appreciate the phone calls and I appreciate everybody calling up. You can always tweet at me at _DylanMatthews and give me your thoughts. But, again, Hawks did get a dub last night. 2-0 in the preseason, baby. Let's go. They win. They beat the Grizzlies. They've been playing some close games. This is both preseason games. They won by a point. 103-102, they beat the Grizzlies. Just to talk about that, I do want to end this show on a positive note, and I do want to talk about the Atlanta Falcons and give some positive vibes there. We talked about the Braves. We aired it out. I said what I needed to say about the Braves. Again, if you want to talk more about the Braves, of course, you can tweet at me at _DylanMatthews. But we do got to talk about the Falcons because they are still in season. They still got plenty of games to play, including a game on Sunday and a game that I feel good about them winning. So I'm going to give you my Falcons keys to the game, give you a little preview, and I'll give you my score prediction as well. Now, if you do want to call up 404-726-0929 and give me your Falcons score prediction, I will take it. Because again, on Fridays we do grilling Dylan, but you know we talked about the Braves enough. I mean I know you can't necessarily talk about them enough, but I do want to get to the Falcons. So if you do have a Falcons score prediction, I will allow you to call up 404-726-0929 if you want to give a Falcons score prediction. That's next right here, Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Friday. And we are turning the page. We talked about it. I've let you air out your grievances. We're moving on to the Atlanta Falcons because they are in season. They still are giving us things to cheer about, things to be happy about. And look, like I said, to put one final bow on the Atlanta Braves, their window is not closing anytime soon. They'll be back next year. Again, of course, you need to stay healthy, but you, of course, hate to feel like you didn't take advantage of what was a historic regular season, and you hate that you didn't build upon that in the postseason to keep that going longer. But they're going to be back, and it's going to be okay. And we still love the Braves. But obviously this stinks. So we're going to move on to the Atlanta Falcons. We also talked about Hawks looking good. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies in the preseason 103-102. So that's also a positive. It's good to win. Even if it's in the preseason, it's always good to win. Never you want to lose. You always are. Whenever you play a game, you want to win. So, and the Hawks did that. So, looking at the Atlanta Falcons, they take on the Washington Commanders this Sunday at home in the friendly confines of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the Atlanta Falcons have not lost yet this season, where Desmond Ridder has not lost yet in his career. So, obviously, I'm feeling good about the Falcons' chances to get a dub this Sunday. And the thing that is big for me when we talk about what the Falcons need to do to get themselves a win on Sunday, get a second win in a row, stay undefeated at home for this season, and Desmond Ridder to keep his undefeated record at home. To get all of that accomplished on Sunday, the Falcons, on offense, they got to continue to torch the Washington Commanders passing game, because the Commanders passing game has been horrible, has been terrible, just bad. So they lost one of their starting safeties, Derek Forrest. By the way, he's going to at least miss the next four games with a fractured shoulder. The Commanders have the 21st ranked defense, but their passing defense is just really, really bad. They're on a 3-game losing streak. The Commanders are after, what, winning in week one, I believe, or they won one in week two. They've lost three straight, so they lost from week three to week six. But anywho, Washington has allowed 33 or more points in four consecutive games, including their loss last week where the Bears, if you remember, blew them out. So this defense can obviously be scored on. I know we always talk about the good defensive front that they have. Well, it obviously ain't been that effective because they've given up, again, 33 or more points in three consecutive games. That's a lot of points. So you got to come out in there and score. Take what the defense is giving you. Their pass defense, again, is really not that good. So this is going to be another opportunity for Desmond Ridder to show why he's the guy, why he's a franchise QB, and coming off a good performance against Houston, I expect Desmond Ridder to go out there, and I'm not saying he needs to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns. That would be great. I would love to see that. He doesn't need to do that, but he just needs to be, again, the best version of himself. He just needs to be the guy that distributes the ball to the playmakers, gets the ball in the hands of all of his playmakers, makes the right decisions, makes good throws when he needs to, and does not turn the ball over. Connect on a couple of deep shots for me, and we good, Des. That's all we asking for, baby. That's all we need. So I think there's going to be opportunities in the passing game for the Falcons and Desmond Ridder this Sunday. Falcons have to take advantage of that. Again, fast start. Fast start. Falcons have started off these games pretty slow. I would love to see the Falcons get off to a fast start on Sunday. First possession, if I can at least get three, obviously we always love to get seven, of course. But if I at least get three that first possession, that would be ideal. And that would be great just to show that, hey, all right, we can do some things against this team and we're ready to work early and often. So offensively, I expect Desmond Ridder to be able to get some things accomplished in the passing game. The running game, again, I know the defensive front is good, but you got to stay true to it. Got to keep that team honest so they can't just stack up the box, which, you know, that again, still might not be good for them because, again, their pass defense is not really good. So, again, plenty of points should be scored by the Falcons. I'm hoping for at least three touchdowns and a couple of field goals or four touchdowns and some field goals, something like that. Defensively, I expect the Falcons to continue to be opportunistic, continue to get pressure on the quarterback, but I hope the pressure starts to turn into sacks. Again, we have been fine for the most part, not getting sacks, but it's not necessarily a formula I want to live by. And not necessarily a formula I want the Falcons to continue on. I would like to start seeing them turn some of those quarterback pressures into sacks. And with this team in the Washington Commanders, they're a team that passes the ball a lot. So these pass rushers should be able to pin their ears back and go. Sam Howell was sacked 5 times last week against the Bears, who, again, their defense isn't that great either. That raised Sam Howell's sack total this season to a league-high 29. The Falcons only have 5 sacks on the year through 5 games. That's tied for last in the league with New York Giants. We got to get these sacks up. And you didn't have any sacks last week. So going up against a guy who's been sacked the most in the entire league, you got to get some sacks and you got to change the down and distance for them. You have to. He's been sacked 29 times. Sack this man. And again, they're going to be in some passing situations. Washington, last week, get this. They dropped back to pass on its final 55 snaps, starting at the midpoint of the second quarter. So midway through the second quarter, they did nothing but pass the ball. They dropped back again. Their final 55 snaps, they dropped back to pass. They completely abandoned the running game. If you can make that happen, put them in obvious passing situations. Let Bud Dupree, let Calais Campbell, let Grady Jarrett, let Arnold Ebiketie, let them dogs go. Roof. Let them dogs eat. So come on. This should be a game where the Falcons get right when it comes to that sack number. I completely expect the Falcons to have at least 8 sacks by the time that game's over on Sunday. That means I'm at least expecting 3. I do not think that's too much to ask for. He was sacked again 5 times last week. He dropped back the final 55 snaps to pass. Ryan Nielsen, I believe in what he's been doing. He's getting his defense right. Continue to dial up some blitzes and get home and put that man Sam Howell on the ground, point blank, period. Score prediction, Falcons 30, Commanders 20. I'm feeling a 30-20 game. That feels good to me. I like that. So that's what we're going with. I think Falcons get the job done 30-20. You can tweet at me your score predictions as well at @_DylanMatthews. So sack the quarterback because he's already been sacked the league out 29 times. He dropped back his final 55 snaps to pass. The Commanders did. They obviously put themselves in obvious pass situations. They're not highly committed to running the football, and they were down big against Chicago when that happened too. So that's obviously a part of it. But you can put them in obvious passing situations. You can sack Sam Howell and, again, that pass defense, not very good. So I expect Desmond Ridder to ball out once again. He ain't got to do too much, but I expect him to play within himself, and I expect to get the best version of Desmond Ridder. I also expect the best version of the morning shift. Tiffany Blackman, on assignment. She's headed to Nashville. She'll be on the sidelines for Vanderbilt, Georgia for CBS this week. So we got Robbie T in the building with Bo Morgan and Mike Johnson. We'll catch up with the fellas and see what they got coming up and see how they're feeling this morning on a Friday. We'll check in with the morning shift, hand things off to them, and end the hometown take for this week right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the hometown take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Friday. And we are turning the page. We talked about it. I've let you air out your grievances. We're moving on to the Atlanta Falcons because they are in season. They still are giving us things to cheer about, things to be happy about. And look, like I said, to put a one final bow on the Atlanta Braves. Their window is not closing anytime soon. They'll be back next year. Again, of course, you need to stay healthy, but you, of course, hate to feel like you didn't take advantage of what was a historic regular season, and you hate that you didn't build upon that in the postseason to keep that going longer, but they're going to be back, and it's going to be okay, and we still love the Braves. But obviously this stinks. So we're going to move on to the Atlanta Falcons. We also talked about Hawks looking good. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies in the preseason 103-102. So that's also a positive. It's good to win. Even if it's in the preseason, always good to win. Never you want to lose. You always are. Whenever you play a game, you want to win. So, and the Hawks did that. So looking at the Atlanta Falcons, they take on the Washington Commanders this Sunday at home in the friendly confines of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the Atlanta Falcons have not lost yet this season, where Desmond Ridder has not lost yet in his career. So, obviously, I'm feeling good about the Falcons' chances to get a dub this Sunday. And the thing that is big for me when we talk about what the Falcons need to do to get themselves a win on Sunday, get a second win in a row, stay undefeated at home for this season, and Desmond Ridder to keep his undefeated record at home. To get all of that accomplished on Sunday, the Falcons, on offense, they got to continue to torch the Washington Commanders' passing game, because the Commanders' passing game has been horrible, has been terrible. Just bad. So, they lost their one of their starting safeties, Derek Forrest. By the way, he's going to at least miss the next four games with a fractured shoulder. They Commanders have the 21st ranked defense, but their passing defense is just really, really bad. They're on a three-game losing streak. The Commanders are after winning in week one, I believe, or they want to win in week two. Or no, actually, they lost. They've lost three straight, so they lost from week three to week six. But anywho, Washington has allowed 33 or more points in four consecutive games, including their loss last week where the Bears, if you remember, blew them out. So this defense can obviously be scored on. I know we always talk about the good defensive front that they have. Well, it obviously ain't been that effective because they've given up, again, 33 or more points in three consecutive games. That's a lot of points. So you got to come out in there and score. Take what the defense is giving you. Their pass defense, again, is really not that good. So this is going to be another opportunity for Desmond Ridder to show why he's the guy, why he's a franchise QB, and coming off a good performance against Houston, I expect Desmond Ridder to go out there, and I'm not saying he needs to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns, That would be great. I would love to see that. He doesn't need to do that, but he just needs to be, again, the best version of himself. He just needs to be the guy that distributes the ball to the playmakers, gets the ball in the hands of all of his playmakers, makes the right decisions, makes good throws when he needs to, and does not turn the ball over. Connect on a couple of deep shots for me, and we good, Dez. That's all we asking for, baby. That's all we need. So I think there's going to be opportunities in the passing game for the Falcons and Desmond Ridder this Sunday. Falcons have to take advantage of that. Again, fast start. Fast start. Falcons have started off this game, these games pretty slow. I would love to see the Falcons get off to a fast start on Sunday. First possession, if I can at least get three, obviously we always love to get seven, of course, but if I at least get three that first possession, that would be ideal, and that would be great just to show that, hey, all right, we can do some things against this team, and we're ready to work early and often. So offensively, I expect Desmond Ridder to be able to get some things accomplished in the passing game. The running game, again, I know the defensive front is good, but you got to stay true to it. Got to keep that team honest so they can't just stack up the box, which, you know, that again, still might not be good for them because, again, their pass defense is not really good. So, again, plenty of points should be scored by the Falcons. I'm hoping for at least three touchdowns and a couple of field goals, or four touchdowns and some field goals, something like that. Defensively, I expect the Falcons to continue to be opportunistic, continue to get pressure on the quarterback, but I hope the pressure starts to turn into sacks. Again, we have been fine for the most part, not getting sacks, but it's not necessarily a formula I want to live by. And not necessarily a formula I want the Falcons to continue on. I would like to start seeing them turn some of those quarterback pressures into sacks. And with this team in the Washington Commanders, they're a team that passes the ball a lot. So these pass rushers should be able to pin their ears back and go. Sam Howell was sacked 5 times last week against the Bears, who, again, their defense isn't that great either. That raised Sam Howell's sack total this season to a league-high 29. The Falcons only have 5 sacks on the year through 5 games. That's tied for last in the league with New York Giants. We got to get these sacks up. And you didn't have any sacks last week. So going up against a guy who's been sacked the most in the entire league, you got to get some sacks and you got to change the down and distance for them. You have to. He's been sacked 29 times. Sack this man. And again, they're going to be in some passing situations. Washington, last week, get this. They dropped back to pass on its final 55 snaps, starting at the midpoint of the second quarter. So midway through the second quarter, they did nothing but pass the ball. They drop back again. Their final 55 snaps, they drop back to pass. They completely abandoned the running game. If you can make that happen, put them in obvious passing situations. Let Bud Dupree, let Calais Campbell, let Grady Jarrett, let Arnold Ebiketie, let them dogs go. Roof. Let them dogs eat. So come on. This should be a game where the Falcons get right when it comes to that sack number. I completely expect the Falcons to have at least 8 sacks by the time that game's over on Sunday. That means I'm at least expecting 3. I do not think that's too much to ask for. He was sacked, again, 5 times last week. He dropped back the final 55 snaps to pass. Ryan Nielsen, I believe in what he's been doing. He's getting his defense right. Continue to dial up some blitzes and get home and put that man Sam Howell on the ground, point blank, period. Score prediction, Falcons 30, Commanders 20. I'm feeling a 30-20 game. That feels good to me. I like that. So that's what we're going with. I think Falcons get the job done 30-20. You can tweet at me your score predictions as well at underscore Dylan Matthews. So sack the quarterback because he's already been sacked the league high 29 times. He dropped back his final 55 snaps to pass. The Commanders did. They obviously put themselves in obvious pass situations. They're not highly committed to running the football, and they were down big against Chicago when that happened too. So that's obviously a part of it, but you can put them in obvious passing situations. You can sack Sam Howell, and again, that pass defense not very good. So I expect Desmond Ridder to ball out once again. He ain't got to do too much, but I expect him to play within himself, and I expect to get the best version of Desmond Ridder. I also expect the best version of the morning shift. Tiffany Blackman on assignment. She's headed to Nashville. She'll be on the sidelines for Vanderbilt, Georgia for CBS this week. So we got Robbie T in the building with Bo Morgan and Mike Johnson. We'll catch up with the fellas and see what they got coming up and see how they're feeling this morning on a Friday. We'll check in with the morning shift, hand things off to them, and end the hometown take for this week right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.